Our scripture passage this morning is from the third epistle of John as we conclude our studies. In the third epistle of John, reading verses 13 and verse 14. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. And may God add His blessing as we conclude this morning our studies in the third epistle of John. What happened after Jesus came forth from the grave? I think the church often forgets. It's similar to the celebration of Christmas. What happened after Jesus was born? Tell me the rest of the story. After Jesus was resurrected from the dead, after a certain amount of days on earth, He ascended into heaven. And now He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And everyone who goes to heaven will see Him. You know, it seems like in America that everybody wants to go to heaven. I don't know if I've ever met a person who did not want to go to heaven. I may have met one, maybe two, when I was in college. You know, college is a time for being unique. And I remember a couple who said they really didn't want to go to heaven, which kind of shocked the church and shocked the Christian community. They didn't know how to respond to that. But most everyone wants to go to heaven. But you know, if many people knew what heaven was really like, I'm convinced that a great number of these people really would not want to go to heaven. As a matter of fact, I think many of them would be miserable there. They would be very unhappy there, and I think to some of them, heaven would be worse than hell. You see, heaven is the place where Jesus is. And if you don't like Jesus, you won't like heaven. Heaven is a place where you will see God face to face. We now live by faith. We do not see God face to face. I've never seen God face to face. The closest I have ever gotten to seeing God is by studying His Word. Heaven is a place where we shall see God face to face. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we are, or now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." To the great men of the Bible, seeing God face to face was the ultimate experience to which they look forward. What happened after the resurrection? Jesus ascended into heaven. Heaven is the place where Jesus is. And if you don't like Jesus, you won't like heaven. Heaven is the place where we shall see Him face to face. And so the writers of the Bible often spoke in terms of seeing God face to face as the greatest blessing that God could give them. Let me read a few Psalms for you here very quickly. Psalm 27, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 27, verses 8 and 9. When thou didst say, "Seek my face," my heart said to thee, "Thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." When thou said to me, "Seek my face," my heart said to thee, "O Lord, I shall seek thy face." What greater blessing than to see God face to face, and not simply to see Him in the written Word, not simply to hear Him from the pulpit of the churches, but to see God face to face. That's where Christ is now. He's in heaven, wherever that is. I don't know. I can't tell you where it is. It's a place, and it's where He is, in His body. He is there. And to go to heaven is to be with Christ, is to see Him face to face. Psalm 31, 16, again in the Old Testament, from the Psalms. Psalm 31, verse 16. "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and save me in thy loving kindness. O Lord, make thy face to shine upon me." May the splendor and the light of God's face spread itself upon me. What greater blessing would there be? Psalm 67, 1. Psalm 67, 1. "O be gracious unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us." Psalm 105, the first four verses. Psalm 105, the first four verses. "O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." The language of the great men of God. What is our great ultimate desire but to see the face of the living God? Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. Speaking there, I believe, of heaven itself. "And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His bondservants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. His name shall be on their foreheads." What is the ultimate experience for the Christian? As John writes about heaven, he says, "This is it, and they shall see His face." To see God's face is to be in His presence, and in His presence with great joy. Now, the reason I say that is because our text this morning gives us some indication of this experience. As John writes to these Christians, he closes with these words, 3 John verse 14, "But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face." We experience in this life to some degree what it is to see someone face to face, and therefore what it is or what it will be to see God face to face. And John writes to his churches and says, I cannot wait to see you face to face. Thinking of his friends, yourself, think of those of whom you love to be with. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your special friends. Think of those who are your closest friends. Those with whom you feel so very comfortable and you enjoy being with them so much, whether it's your wife or your children or whoever. Is there anybody in your life, when they're gone, you cannot wait until you see them face to face? And oh, what a joy it is to be with them. You see, an email will not do. A letter will not do. Even a picture that we carry around in our wallet will not do. I enjoy some people so much that when I have been away from them, I cannot wait to see them. I want to see them face to face and enjoy the blessings of their presence. And that's John's experience with the church. And as he writes this letter, he says to you, I hope, realizing that right now all I can do is send you a letter with pen and ink, but I hope very shortly that we shall speak face to face. He wrote the same thing to the chosen lady in 2 John. 2 John. Verse 12, he said to her and her children, having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that your joy may be made full. Can you imagine that? You know, a letter is good, but there's nothing like having John here in person. And I can't wait to see him. Paul does the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. He tells us of his great desire to see the Thessalonians face to face. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But we, brethren, having been bereft of you for a short while in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. I don't want a picture. I don't want email. I don't want a letter. I want to see you in person. And that will be my joy. Is there anybody in your life that's that important to you? I hope so. If there's not, you can't really understand this sermon. Is there anybody in your life whom you've been away from and you love so much that when they come home in person or you see them face to face, it's such a great joy? What greater joys are there in life than that? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to you, to God for you in return, for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. It's almost as if Paul is saying, we cannot complete what is lacking in your faith until we see you face to face. Face to face is very important in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament, if you were accused of a crime, you have the right to face your accuser face to face. No one could accuse you of a crime at a distance. If he's going to accuse me of sin or a crime, we must come face to face. No accusations by email. No accusations by letter. No accusations over the telephone. We must come face to face. You must look me in the face, and I must look you in the face. Oh, what a difference it makes. Here we have the great desire of the apostle. If I come and see you face to face, then I can complete what is lacking in your faith. You see, presence makes a difference. It makes a big difference. It makes a difference in the Bible. Think, if you will, recently, as many of our sailors returned on some of the aircraft, battleships, from serving in the war in Afghanistan, how these spouses, children, wives were waiting there for their husbands and their fathers to disembark from those aircraft carriers. Think of how they've been receiving letters. Think of even more so those in World War II who may have been gone for years. And their wives are receiving letters and hoping that the day will come when they will see them face to face. What a joy it was, even among some of our own congregation, for the wives to look forward to their husbands after years at war. And the day has come when I will see him face to face. And he'll have the biggest hug he ever had. What a joy. And you see, that's the kind of joy it is here with the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul. I can't wait to see you face to face. I can't wait to see your face. To see you in person, to be with you. I love you so much that I enjoy your company so greatly. And you know what that is? That's a foretaste of heaven. It's just a slight taste of what it is to be with Christ. Heaven is a place where we shall see God face to face. Paul and John enjoyed a taste of heaven as they look forward to seeing the saints of God face to face. And as the saints of God look forward to the day when Paul would come into town and we'll see him in person to be in his company. And heaven is a place where we shall be in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ for all eternity. Who then wouldn't want to go to heaven? Well, a lot of people, I believe, if they really knew what heaven was like. And I think there are a lot of people who, if they really knew what heaven was like, they would not want to go there. Because they would not be happy in the presence of God, seeing Christ face to face. And one reason is because they really have nothing in common with Him. They have nothing in common with Him. Why do we like to be with people? Because we have so much in common with them. My wife and I recently visited our sons, our daughter. We love to be with our sons and our daughter. They're our life. This is 25, 26, 20, 29 years of our life. We love them. They love us. Besides that, they're all five-point Calvinists. You see, they love to play golf. They love chocolate ice cream. They get all excited when they hear Rocky Top played. We love to be together. We share so much. We share our lives, our history, our relatives. When my father died, they were there. When my mother got sick, they were there. I was going to say, when my children were born, they were there. You see, our life is tied up with them. And I hope you have somebody like that in your life. Your children, a future spouse, you know, a boyfriend, a mother, a father. Is there somebody in your life with whom you can say, "Preacher, my desire and my hope is that next week I'll see them face to face. I can't wait till they come home." And no, you know me, I'm not one to give hugs, but I've learned to give hugs. I had to learn to give hugs. You know, with two daughter-in-laws that just hug all the time. It's like every time they see me, they just run up to me and hug me, and it's like, I'll hug them back. It's such a joy to see you. The telephone won't do. Email won't do. Pictures won't do. We want to be together, face to face. And you see, that's what John and Paul felt about the believers in the church. We can't wait till he comes back. You know, I've been on vacation, 2 weeks? I don't know if there's anybody here who was really wanting to see me again. You see, I hope so. We can't wait till he comes back and we can see him face to face. That's not a good example, but you understand what I mean? Is there anybody in your life like that? Your spouse, maybe? You know, you go on a trip for 2 weeks and I can't wait till he comes home. The children, dad's gone. You know, he's circling the world. We can't wait till he comes home. What a joy it will be. And so John writes to the church and says, I can't wait to get there. And you can't wait to see me face to face in person. And that's what it will be like when we go to heaven. We'll see Christ as He is, the Christ of the Bible. The one who just amazes me as I read this book. I'm just so amazed of who this man is. I can't believe it. He's much more than I ever thought he was. His character, flawless. His mercy, His kindness, His greatness. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. He's the Son of the living God. He cures the sick. He heals the lame. And He's fair and He's just in everything He does. He's perfect. And such a man, I've heard about him. I read about him. But I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to be with him. And that's why we want to go to heaven, to be with this man, to see him face to face. But if you don't like him, if you're not comfortable with him, if you've not responded to the gospel, believe me, you don't want to go to heaven. You don't know what you're asking for. And sometimes I feel like telling people that. Someone says to me, "Preacher, I want to go to heaven." And I say, "Well, are you a Christian?" They say, "No." I say, "Believe me, sir, you don't want to go to heaven. You'll be miserable in heaven. It'll be worse than hell. Because to go to heaven, you have to like being with Christ. You have to like Him. And you have to like the things that He likes. You have to share with Him the values that He has. I want to go to heaven. I was watching the Oscar nominations ceremony, and after 30 minutes I fell asleep and I had to ask my wife the next morning who won, you know. But I remember one actress got up and said something about someone who had died maybe last year, and You know, how he's now in heaven and now he's looking at us and watching us, and oh, sometimes I get so sick of that. Or he's now in our hearts. His Spirit is now with us. That has nothing to do with the Word of God. That's not Christianity. He's now in heaven looking down upon us, and I hope he sees this Oscar that I've won. I know he does. We assume everybody goes to heaven. We assume everybody wants to go to heaven. But biblically, if you're not a Christian, you don't want to go to heaven. Let me tell you right now, you don't want to go. You'll be miserable. You'll be miserable with the people there. You won't like the people. You won't like God. You won't like what they do. And you may even cry for God to let you go. You don't know what you're asking. That's what God told Moses once. You know, Moses said that he wanted to see God face to face. You know what God said? He said, "Moses, you don't know what you're asking. You don't want to see me face to face. Not now. Not in your condition. You know what it means to see, if you were to see me face to face, you know what would happen to you? You would die. Any man, any sinner, anyone who has not been transformed and admitted into heaven, if he were to see me face to face, he would die. You don't want to see God face to face. Not now. Not today. Because you would die. Exodus 33. The conversation there between God and Moses. Exodus 33. Read that for you very quickly here. Exodus 33:18. Then Moses said, "I pray thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, that is God, "You cannot see my face, or no man can see me and live." The only way that we can see God face to face is to be washed in His blood and have all of our sins covered. And unless you are covered by the blood of Christ, number one, we would say, unless you have the imputed righteousness of Christ, you don't want to see God. Because to see God would be to fall dead. Literally, you would be scared to death. And so Moses says, "Let me see your glory." And God says, "Moses, you don't know what you're asking for." Right here, it's a point of ignorance. And so people say, "I'd like to see God. If God would just appear to me, I believe in Him. You know, if God would just appear to me and show Himself to me, I believe in Him." Well, you know what the answer to that is? You don't want God to come into your presence. Because you'll die. You don't know what you're asking for. You see, God is holy. And God cannot stand sin in His presence. And you're a sinner. Even as a Christian, you're still bothered by this sinfulness. And to be in the presence of God would mean that you would have to die. And the only way we can be admitted into heaven, pure and clean, is that God imputes to us the purity and the righteousness of Christ. And when God sees us, He sees Christ in His perfection. So, do you really want to see God? Let me warn you right now. Unless you've been washed in the blood of Christ, unless you are wearing His righteousness, you don't want to look Him in the face. And I sure don't want to look Him in the face. Remember the Old Testament. Remember the tabernacle and the temple. And remember how the high priest, only one time a year, could go into the very presence of God with a veil on his face. And if he didn't do everything just right, he would die. Say, a high priest would die? Yes, a high priest, it doesn't matter. Cover your face when you come into my presence. And only the sacrificial blood would allow him to come into the presence of God. Only the sacrifice of Christ Himself, forgiving us of all of our sins, can allow us to come into the very presence of the living God. And if you're not one who has come to Christ by faith, trusting in His work to cleanse you of all your sin and of all your guilt, you don't want to go to heaven. Trust me, you don't want to go there. And secondly, you don't want to go to heaven unless God changes your nature first. To enjoy being with Christ, you must like Him. You must enjoy the things that He enjoys. You must enjoy doing the things that He does. You must hold the same values. You must experience, in some ways, the same trials and tribulations. You must like the people that He likes. Otherwise, you won't be happy there. To enjoy heaven, you must enjoy the things of God. Elsewise, you will be miserable. You know what? I don't like opera. I know this will be disappointing to many of you, but I don't like opera. One thing, I can't understand a word they're saying. I'm miserable going to opera. Some of you love it. Don't drag me to an opera. That's not me. I don't belong there. Bluegrass, that's another thing. Okay? My nature is of such that I only enjoy certain things. And likewise, I will only, or you will only enjoy heaven if your nature and your desires and your likes and dislikes are like God. If you don't enjoy the things of God on earth, you surely will not enjoy them in heaven. You know that? He said, well, I don't like to go to church. I go to church because mom and dad made me go to church. I don't like to go to church. I don't like to sing those hymns. I don't really like to try to understand what this Bible says. I don't care about right and wrong in terms of God's law. You know, I don't even like God's law. You know what? You'd be very unhappy in heaven. Very, very unhappy. You'd be miserable. Let me make a point here, I think, which is very important. As Christians, when we die, we go to heaven. And our transformation from heaven to earth is not primarily a transformation of the heart. It's a transformation of location and a perfecting of the heart. There is an assumption that the heart has already been changed. God at death does not change your heart. God changes your location and He perfects what is lacking in the heart. But He does not change the desires of your heart. We believe the Bible teaches that when you become a Christian, you have a new heart. At that point, God has changed you. He's not going to change you again. He's going to perfect what is there, but He's not going to make you something different than what you already are right now. When you you go to heart, or when you go to heaven, you'll go to heaven with the same heart you've got right now, unless there's change. God transforms the heart while we are on earth, and we begin to love the things that He loves, and we begin to desire the things that He desires. And when we die and we go to heaven, He does not change the heart again. He only perfects what He's begun. The things that occupy your mind, the things that you consider worth dying for on earth, will not change you after death, will not change after death. Thus, if you love the church, if you love worship, you love the sacraments, you love preaching, even when preaching sometimes exposes my sin, you know, I can even enjoy that and say, well, amen, preacher, you got me there. I needed that. You love God's Word. You love to pray to God. You love to talk with God. You love being with believers. You love being with God's people. You love meditating on the works of God. You desire to be righteous and you hate sin. You'll love heaven. You'll love it. You'll love it. Because there it will be perfect. But if you have no love of God's church, no love of God's Word, no love of being in fellowship with God's people, you have no hatred of sin and you have no love of righteousness on earth, you'll be miserable in heaven. You don't want to go there. Don't be a fool. It'd be like me in an opera. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. And I can't wait to get out. If you hate the church, if you hate the worship of God, you'll hate heaven. If you hate God's law, you'll hate heaven. If you are not washed in the blood by faith, you'll hate heaven. And you'll cry for death as soon as you get there. So people ask the preacher and say, preacher, I want to go to heaven. And my answer is, well, let's sit down and talk about it. You may not want to go to heaven. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you love Christ? Do you love Christ as you love anything in the world? Do you love God's Word? Oh, God's Word is a delight to me. Do you see your sin and have you been washed in the blood of Christ? Because no man in his sin can see God and live. Do you love to sing the hymns of the church, the Trinity hymnal, even the words in the Psalter? Oh, how I love those words. I love Sunday. I love being in God's church. I love being with God's people. I look forward to it all week long. Let me ask you that. Can you say that? I look forward to being in church all week long. And when Sunday comes, I thank God that He's given me another day to be in fellowship with Him and God's people in His church. You see, if that's the way you are, you'll love heaven. But if you're not that way, God's not going to change you at death. He's not going to change you at death. Either you've been changed or you haven't been changed. And if you don't love the things of God, if you don't love the Christ of the Scriptures, if you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, you'll be miserable in heaven. Because, you see, that's where Christ is. Now we see as in a mirror dimly. We live by faith. Nobody here has seen God. I haven't seen God. But the promise is, someday, you will see Him. And you will see Him face to face. And that will be the greatest joy of all of life. And John gives us a foretaste of that when he writes to the Christians and says, I cannot wait to see you face to face. May God give us that heart that when we die, we will truly want to be in heaven. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast changed us. Thou hast made us anew. Thou hast given us a love of Your Word. Thou hast given us a love of Christ. We bow before Him. We ask not to see Him prematurely. But, O Lord, as You've changed our hearts, as we've been washed in the blood, as we love Your church, as we love the hymns of the church, as we love the Lord's Day, as we love Your law and Your ways, O Lord, we look forward to the day that when we shall see You face to face. For the resurrected Christ is the Christ who has ascended to the very throne of the living God. Hear us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.